Turkey's Olive Branch Operation and Syria Endgame. Whereas Turkey's Operation Olive Branch is nothing short of an attack on the forces allied undoubtedly with the US, and thereby an attack on the US, this operation is as much as a result of Turkey-US conflict of interest as it is aimed at modifying the US endgame for Syria. The US endgame for Syria envisages a Syria clearly portioned between the Syrian government and the Kurds. This endgame is, however, nothing short of a nightmare for the Turks, who have moved in the last 5 years or so from initially supporting the militants such as the terrorist group of Daesh, to creating their own militias and to allying with Russia to strangulate the growing power of Kurdish militias and thus prevent the emergence of an independent Kurdistan on Turkish borders. In other words, Turkish military intervention may directly thwart the US objectives. Salman Rafi Sheikh, research analyst of international relations and Pakistan's foreign and domestic affairs, has written an exclusive article on the US choice concerning its occupation of Syria and is of choosing the best bad one. Here's more. Turkey, by invading Syria, is therefore not running the risk of breaking or significantly damaging the ties with its neighbors. Some say Turkey may end up controlling a part of Syria. However, Turkey insisted that it is neither interested in assimilating Afrin as its own territory, nor is going to establish its direct military control. While reports in the Western media have tended to project this operation as an assault on Russia because Afrin is west of the Euphrates, where Russia, not the US, has been controlling the airspace ever since it sent its air force to Syria in 2015 to help salvage the war-stricken Syria. However, instead of this operation being an evidence of a crack in Turkey-Russia cooperation, it largely underscores the fact that this operation is a result of broader understanding reached between Ankara and Moscow. There remains little doubt in that operation will directly work to the US rather than Russian or Syrian disadvantage. To begin with, Afrin is a place which has been the gateway to the Amanis Mountains, where Kurdish guerrillas and Turkish army have clashed numerous times, and according to various media reports, Kurdish militias present in Afrin have amassed a big stockpile of weapons thanks to American supplies since 2016, including multiple rocket launchers, missile launchers, 80 and 120mm mortars, MK-19 grenade launchers, US-made BGM-71, TOW and Titanic missiles, reconnaissance vehicles, FGM-148, Javelin and Titanic missiles, and so on. One of the many purposes behind the provision of such weapons was clearly to enable these militias to establish their own control and governments. And while the establishment of such government would have directly worked to Turkey's disadvantage, even Russia had to warn against the consequences of such steps, it was as such only days before the commencement of Olive Branch that Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said that it's a fact that US forces are seriously involved in creating alternative government bodies on vast part of the Syrian territory. Therefore, as far as the question of preventing Syria's de facto breakup is concerned, Turkey and Russia, and as some believe, by default Syria as well, are on the same page. Besides Turkey's sustained cooperation with Russia in successfully holding Syrian National Dialect Congress in Sochi on January 29 to 30, which is a necessary step toward national reconciliation and settlement, the fact cannot be overlooked that just as Turkish forces are moving in Afrin, Syrian forces are moving in Idlib, lying to the west of Afrin and bordering the coastal province of Latakia, where Russia's air and naval bases are located. It is worth remembering here that Idlib is where Turkey and Russia have previously collaborated and freed it from terrorists. It was in October 2017 when Turkish reconnaissance forces had moved into Idlib and established lines of control. And if all things go according to the plan, that is, if Turkey comes to control Afrin and Syrian forces come to control Idlib, Washington's dream of establishing a territorially contiguous Kurdish region will become almost impossible to realize. And while a discreet arrangement seems to be working between Moscow and Ankara, at least at this stage, there still remains the American factor to be taken into account. This arrangement is clearly working to the U.S. disadvantage, as it will not only prevent the establishment of a contiguous Kurdish zone, but also thwart the creation of a 30,000-strong so-called border defense force comprised of U.S. armed and funded Kurdish militias. This is likely to leave the U.S. with little to no leverage on the ground in Syria. Part of this can be explained with reference to the response of the U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis, who confined himself to saying that we will work this out with the Turks, clearly implying that the U.S. will have to work something out and that they will have to wait. Therefore, if things work out well for Turkey, it will not hesitate putting more pressure on the U.S. for ending its support for Kurds, or the U.S. might end up facing a drastic failure of its plans to keep an indefinite direct and indirect military presence in northern Syria. The only silver lining for the U.S. is that Turkey remains a NATO member, and that NATO supports Turkey's deep concerns for what NATO Charter assumed as self-defense, a support that comes out of NATO's understanding of the new Cold War reviving up with Russia and China in the coming years. Both the U.S. and NATO understand how crucial Ankara may be in that war, and having Ankara in their camp will require nothing but a major compromise on the U.S. traditional support for the Kurds. However, for now, the irony of the U.S.-Turkey relations is that Turkish jets pounding Kurdish militias take off from the same military base in Incirlik that the U.S. uses to support its Syria operations. And if Turkey to force the U.S. out of Incirlik, well, the U.S. will lose another territory. As is increasingly evident, there are only bad options left for the U.S. And the question now is that of choosing the best bad one.